Sport on Highland, brought to you by michaelmurphysports.ie. Shop 24/7 with nationwide next day delivery.
A very good evening. Welcome along to another edition of The Score. Coming up on tonight's programme, in our League of Ireland section, we'll be joined by former Fin Harps and Sligo Rovers player Raf Cotaro to look ahead to the big North West Derby, of course, which is taking place on a Saturday evening. We'll also hear from Fin Harps manager Ollie Horgan and indeed Derry City boss Declan Devine ahead of their respective matches. Plus on the programme as well, Conor Coyle got back into ring action in Mexico last week. We'll hear from the Derry middleweight, and Northwest 10K chairman Neil Martin will join us to tell us all about the virtual running of the event this year. But we're going to start with top flight Irish soccer, League of Ireland Premier Division action for this coming weekend. Harps against Sligo at the Showgrounds, of course, on Saturday night is our feature game this coming weekend. And we will have full live match coverage from that tie. Jeremy Doherty and Declan Boyle will be on commentary this coming Saturday evening. We'll hear from Harps boss Ollie Horgan in a few minutes' time. Plus, we'll also hear from Rafa Cotaro, former player with Harps and Sligo Rovers, shortly too. But we're going to start our League of Ireland section with Derry City, who are back in action against Drogheda United in one of two games being played tomorrow evening, Friday. Declan Devine, manager of the Candy Stripes, is confident that this is a game that they can get their first win from. Tuesday's 2-0 loss to Shamrock Rovers means City, of course, are still looking for their first points of the season, while Tim Clancy's Drogheda arrived to the Northwest on the back of a thumping win in Longford last time out. Derry boss Devine insists, however, that he is confident that his young side aren't too far away from getting that first victory.
That's a good side. They've obviously have a few days rest on us as well, and they'll come here nice and fresh. But the confidence within our group, it's very good considering that we lost the other night. But we take a pluses from that. There's been good performances within the last three games. There's been good phases of play. There's been things that we need to do better. We need to nullify goals going against us. But the confidence within the group is very good. We're delighted we have another game. We have three games now in 8 days, and we look forward to getting up and going in terms of, I can only ask for performance. We just need a wee bit of luck on our side, and make sure that when we do, whoever we play against, that we make it extremely difficult for them.
As you say, it's another hectic schedule, another free game in one of days. It's good.
Listen, we can't complain. At the end of the day, we're all in it for the matches. The games are the best thing about it. But we've had a few setbacks. Let's call a spade a spade. The results haven't been good enough. But I still believe that we're only a matter of time away from getting that first one and getting up a table.
Injury wise and suspensions, Danny Lepanic.
Danny comes back into the group. Darren Cole probably missed out. Joe Hodges missed out. Obviously, it's a huge loss for us. Joe back at Man City, trying to get a bit of good news in terms of his back injury. But he's a huge loss for us. And Cole will get a scan today and see how he is.
Is he a groin or back? What's Darren's?
Darren's back. He's a bit of a hard back. That's a sore back. The hard ground here in the Brandywell training on a daily basis tends to have that type of effect. So hopefully, it's nothing too serious.
Derry boss Declan Devine speaking to Kevin McLaughlin there. Well, Fin Harps' journey at the summit of the Premier Division continues on Saturday with the first North West Derby of the season against Sligo Rovers. Both sides are unbeaten after four games, and both are flying high in confidence ahead of the battle at the Showgrounds. Harps top scorer Adam Foley is again a doubt, but don't be surprised if the Dubliner lines out looking to add to his season total. Speaking to me earlier today, Harps boss Ollie Horgan says it's going to take another savage effort if they are to keep this unbeaten run going.
Yeah, obviously we'd love to keep avoiding defeats at least come Saturday. But with the way Sligo are going, with the team that Liam Buckley has assembled there this year in particular, it'll take a savage effort for that to happen. But we go there with a bit of confidence in that. But we do realise that if we're not right, that this could be a long night for us, as it has been in the past in the Showgrounds. And they have strengthened. They're really decent. Last year they got to Europe, but they've taken in and got players back that they had there before. And it'll be a huge ask of us. It'll probably be the biggest ask so far and the asks were quite high up to now.
What makes the showground such a difficult place to go to, Ollie? Because it's been a long time since Harps had a top flight one there.
Yeah, we came close on a number of occasions. I remember we were 1-0 up going into injury time and they got a penalty. But this is a stronger bunch of players that Sligo have. We're hoping that we are also a stronger bunch, but only time will tell. Look, they're a good side. They're a good club. And, you know, that's what makes it very difficult to play against them. Home or away, and particularly away, like from our point of view. Look, they've added the likes of Greg Bulger that has won leagues with several teams. He's a top midfielder, and I mean a top midfielder. Like, he's right up there. He's only left Shamrock Rovers, having won a league last year. He won a league with Cork. Certainly won. He won a cup. He might have won a league with Pats back as well. On top of what, the likes of Romeo Parks, who's come back, the likes of Gibson that has come in from Pats, the English lad. They're a seriously, you know, attacking-wise, they've a hell of a lot of options. And they have a lot of good players there already. So they're up there, and I think we'll stay up at that end of the table.
This is obviously a game you're not going to shy away from, Ollie, because the confidence is high in the group at the moment. And is the confidence been building since the start of the season? And you can see it in the group and training and after matches and I suppose various elements of the group that you're working with?
I think what they've done, a lot of them were there at the latter part of last year, and I think what they've done is shaking in that run that we had to keep us in the division at the end of last year. And they followed that up really and started off where they left off. But we need to continue that and to try and accumulate enough points in the next round of games, if you like. And it'll be, look, we're going to get turned over sooner or later. We're fully aware of that. And I don't think anyone is going to get too carried away when we win a game. And as I said to you before, I don't think anyone gets too despondent should we lose. Look, there'll be a lot of ups and downs along the way, which suits us, so long as there's enough ups to get us through, to put it that way.
Yeah, discipline let you down the last time you were at the showground, Ollie. You had the two players sent off in that 3-1 defeat, and I suppose when you go to a game of such a magnitude of a North West derby, you have to keep your discipline. But this season, the Harps' discipline has been good.
Yeah, and funny enough, that night, I don't think there was a bad tackle made in the game. With the number of bookings that were made, I think it was quite an even game until the sending off. And yeah, you are correct. We needed to keep 11 players on the pitch, in particular that night. And I normally don't complain about officials, but in particular that night, I think you know, one or two players went down very easily. And to be fair to the referee, he obviously was on commission here, because I think we ended up with 12 bookings. I don't like to harp back, but you've brought it up. And to me, it was way out of order. And is that an excuse for losing it? No. The Sligo are a better side again than that. And I don't know if it's any relevancy to it, but that night in particular would have left a lot to be desired with the officiating of that game. And I rarely avoid that. But you brought it up, and I've no problem in addressing it.
Okay. A busy couple of days ahead then, Ollie. Well, it's the 3 games in 7 days. The squad that you have is bigger than last year. Obviously, it's going to be tested now in the coming matches,
yeah.
Is it?
Yeah, and that's what it's here for. You know, that if whatever way we've improved, we certainly have improved in choices and maybe players, a number of players that can play in each position. And that will send us, hopefully, in the next week in particular. We've 3 games again in a fortnight's time. And look, we needed. We struggled on Monday night games, having played on Friday, and then going to the likes of Tala and Dundalk on a Monday night, where there's nothing we could do. The players were in bits; they hadn't really time to recover, and it caught up with them. And we took some heavy beatings away from home, in particular midweek. We're hoping that we can rectify that, and that doesn't happen. And that's why we have the panel, and we need it come next week and in 3 weeks' time.
A number of weeks ago, Adam Foley was a doubt for one of the matches, and then as it developed over the course of the week, he lined out on the Friday night. He's now a doubt for this game as well, Ollie. What's the chances of him appearing on the pitch in the derby on Saturday?
Well, we'll see. We'll assess it tomorrow night. He certainly won't be able to do your 3 games in 7 days, as you've referred to there. We need to manage it. It's an injury that's recurring. If this is the last game of the season on Saturday, yeah, we chance it, but it's not. It's anything but, and we need to manage him in whatever way we can for the three games that we have in the 7 days.
Harps manager, Ollie Horgan. Well, Raf Cratero has 20 years of League of Ireland football under his belt, having played the bulk of that time with Sligo Rovers. Well, of course, he finished his career with Fann Harps before hanging up his boots in January of this year. As we said, both clubs are flying high at the top flight, unbeaten as they head into the derby. So who is Raf edging for ahead of this titanic tussle at the weekend?
You know, it's great to see both clubs are flying high, have gotten a fantastic start. You know, obviously, Saturday is going to present a different challenge for both sides. You know, I think Ollie will probably see this has been his toughest game. And I know talk around kind of Sligo is progressing on last year, which was a fourth place finish. They're going to be looking to finish that little bit higher up the table, and with obviously Dundalk and Shamrock Rovers. And Bowes probably not getting the start they would like. They now probably think that they might have actually a chance of pushing for a title here.
Yeah. Before we look at Sligo, we'll dip into Harps, obviously. It's been a fantastic start for them. In your view, in your eyes, what has changed around Finn Park at the start of this season that all of a sudden Harps are finding themselves not fighting at the bottom, but being one of the top two?
Yeah, I don't think anything has changed. I think obviously the key was, you know, Ollie knew he had a fantastic group of lads there last year. The key was obviously to keeping that group together, you know, and, you know, he did himself and Higgsy did unbelievably well to keep, you know, the majority of the lads, or the lads they obviously wanted to keep on board there, you know, because we all know obviously geographically here in the Northwest, it's very, very hard to attract players. So, you know, doing that was key, and keeping the likes of your Webbies and obviously Adam Foley, another key player this year. So keeping them was key. You know, he knew what if he could keep those lads that he could build obviously on this season. And you know, it's testament now the start that they've had this year is great. You know, but on the run they're on, obviously the key is to keeping that run for as long as you can, because when you come off that run, you know, obviously when the time comes and you drop points, or you get your first loss, very, very hard to get that back up there again. So, you know, they'll want to keep on this run for as long as they can.
But even if you suffer defeat along the way, Raf, I suppose there's a confidence now in this squad since the end of last year that they know they can bounce back if they do suffer one or two along the way.
Yeah, obviously, I think the weekend just gone against Waterford would be a prime example, you know, to go 1-0 down and come back then and win the game with the final kick of a ball, you know. I think when you're up that end of the table, you get that little bit of rub of the green, and, you know, decisions that might go against you when you're at the bottom of the table, they actually go for you when you're up the other end. So, you know, it took last kick of the game and Your captain, you know, you want that. You want your captain to be a leader, and, you know, Webby has popped up with the winner, and no better man to do so. You know, I don't think he meant it, you know, his left foot, but he'll say he did. And look, it was a fantastic goal. And again, a different challenge, you know, a different challenge on Saturday. You know, you have Sligo who have really, really, you know, they've strengthened the squad in a lot of areas. They have now a really settled back four that, you know, are really, really hard to break down. You have Romeo Perth and DeVries, who probably aren't, you know, fully match fit yet, as they've missed a bit of pre-season. But by God, when they start firing, you know, they'll be hard stopped. So, you know, it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see how this weekend goes. But it's going to be a tough challenge for Harps, I think, to go to the showgrounds and get, you know, something from it. I think if they get a point on the road is unbelievable, you know, because there won't be many teams that's going to go to the showgrounds this year and take points. I can guarantee you that.
Yeah, we've seen that obviously last week with Shamrock Rovers coming to town and Sligo. Is it going to force the hand of Ollie maybe to change things then, given what you're saying, Raf?
Look, it's hard to change a winning team, you know, but obviously, there's a big schedule, a tough schedule coming up, you know, so he's going to have that at the back of his mind, and he'll want to keep lads fresh. So, you know, possibly he might see it as you know, maybe rest one or two lads and think of the games coming up. But, you know, it's a top of the table clash. You know, do you go, you know, put your hand out there and say, yeah, let's go for this and try and take 3 points. You know, it'll be interesting. I don't know what Ollie will do. I'd say Ollie doesn't know what he's going to do, but it'll be really. I'm looking forward to it. I am. I'm looking forward to seeing what both teams put out. Obviously, Adam Foley is you know, top scorer, flying. So he's going to take watching, and I'm sure Rovers will try their best to try and stop that threat. On the other hand, Ollie will try and stop the likes of young Kenny, who's burst onto the scene, and Romeo Perks, who he all knows too well, can punish you with his pace and power. So it's going to be a mix and match on the day. But I think the midfield battle in general is going to be where it's won. Obviously, Craig Bulger, who's won numerous league titles, adds that bit of steel and experience in the middle of the park for Sligo. So I think wherever the midfield battle, whoever wins that battle, I think is going to be the team that's going to come out on the day.
Yeah. I know, speaking to Ollie likes to play things down, and he's not getting too carried away with this hype around Hearts being top of the table. But you, of course, are a player that is that at all levels in the League of Ireland, and you've been fighting at the top as well previously. Do the players get to enjoy this sort of experience so early in the season, or is Ollie keeping these boys all grounded?
Well, I think knowing the group and knowing most of the lads, and obviously Ollie, I think they'll be grounded anyways. You know, they'll not get carried away, and they'll look to try and get as many points as they can on the board and keep the run that they're on going for as long as they can. Because, like I said, once that stops, once you come off that run, it's very, very hard to get back up there. You know, this is a fantastic group of players. You know, there's no doubt in that. But you know, I know all too well, like you said, I've been up at the top end, and I've also been down at the bottom end with both clubs. So the key to it is keeping that run going as long as they can. And, you know, when they come off that run is how long are they going to keep, you know, will they get back on that run again? You know, is how quickly they can recover from a loss or something like that. You know, that's the key to it. But, you know, like I said, great group of lads, and I firmly believe that Ollie will have them well grounded, you know.
What about the feeling around Sligo? Because as you alluded to there, you have been involved with Sligo at the top and the bottom end. Sligo were back on form again. They were very successful, of course, during a period of time that you were with them. What's the expectation now around the showgrounds, and particularly those Sligo Rovers supporters? Because it's a huge, huge soccer town, so it is. And there's this new injection of energy in from Liam Buckley. We sort of got segments of it over the last couple of seasons, and in particular towards the end last year, Raf. But now Sligo's at the top, so they are.
Yeah, they're like I said, they're looking to build obviously on last year. You know, that fourth place finish, but with the starts that Shamrock Rovers have had and Bowes have had, they'll look to, you know, they know now that, okay, maybe there's a chance here to push for a title. I firmly believe that there is. You know, that when you have Ryan DeVries, Romeo Perks, young Kenny firing on all cylinders, Walter Figueroa as well, who scored last week against Shamrock Rovers. When these players really start to get match fitness, you know, especially Perks and DeVries, who missed a little bit of pre-season, when they're up to speed with the rest of the lads, you know, this is going to be a formidable side. You know, it's probably the best side that Sligo Rovers have had probably since we were there in the golden era, you know, back in 2012 under Ian Barraclough. So I think there's a push for a title here this year. You know, again, I'm not going to get carried away. You know, I am a Sligo Rovers supporter, as I like Finn Harps as well. But it's going to be tough to call, because I know, and I think the lads will know that I could be talking to you in 3 weeks' time, and the table could do a full flip. You know, so but Sligo, I think, will definitely push for a title. They'll be there at the end of the season, 100%.
Okay, if that table is to flip, Is there going to be a flip with Dundalk? Because their form hasn't been great. Of course, former champions. They dominated League of Ireland football for such a long period. And they've got St. Patrick's Athletic now on Saturday, which is a real tasty ring about it. But it's a game that Dundalk will be looking to get something out of to sort of kickstart their season, Raf.
Yeah, I think they'll go there thinking that if a result there could really kickstart the season for them, you know. Obviously, things haven't been going as well as they're used to up there. You know, they've been dominating the league for the past 6-7 years. And they're probably just going through that little bit of a transitional period at the club at the minute, you know. And if they can get a result against Pats, I think that could, you know, that could ignite something. Because they've got quality there. They've got your Michael Duffy's, your Chris Shields, your Pat Hubens. You know, these are, you know, top players in our league. So, you know, they'll be looking to the likes of them and Andy Boyle and players like that to kick them on now. And if, like I said, they can get a result the weekend, I think that could really ignite the season for them, you know, because Shane Keegan is a fantastic man, you know, a really positive man, and no better man for something good to happen. I actually like him as a fella and a person, and a fantastic coach. So, you know, he'll look to try and turn things around there quite quickly.
Yeah. So Pats will be quite happy with everybody talking about the teams around them, the likes of the Dundalks and Shamrock Rovers. Pats are just chipping away there. They're top of the table. It's been a great start by them.
100%. They've really kind of went unnoticed, haven't they? You know, people haven't been saying too much about it. And I only said it actually in an interview there earlier in the week, how Stephen O'Donnell has really, you know, went under the radar with them, and they're, you know, how now I think people are starting to say, take notice and say, Jesus, Pats are a force to be reckoned with. But it won't be easy for them, you know, obviously keeping everybody fit. He hasn't got the biggest squad in the world, Stephen. So I think if he keeps everybody fit and suspensions to a minimal, you know, I think they're again in a real great position to challenge for a league title as well, you know, along with the likes of Sligo and Shamrock Rovers.
Yeah. You would expect Rovers to win comfortably, would you, against Longford Town on Saturday evening, Raf?
I think that's what everybody's going to think. I think Longford will be hurting, obviously, from a 4-0 defeat against Drogheda the previous week. You know, Dara Doyle won't be too happy with conceding 4, so he'll look to try and sort that out, obviously. But no easy task. Shamrock Rovers is a fantastic side. They're the team to beat for me. You know, they're still the team to beat with the biggest squad, the biggest budget, the best players. So, again, they're the kind of team that if they pick up one or two injuries or suspensions, they've got the squad to deal with it. So, you know, people are going to say, yeah, probably an easy 3 points for Shamrock Rovers, but I don't think it will be because Longford have, you know, picked up some great results, you know, in the first few games. So I think they'll look to try and get back to that now after a heavy defeat last week against Drogheda.
Yeah. The Friday night matches, the first of them, Waterford against Bohemians. Your thoughts ahead of that one, Raf? How do you think that one will go?
Again, Bo's probably not getting to the start that they would have hoped. Waterford, on the other hand, having been in Finn Park and watching them the weekend, I think it could be, you know, a tough season for them. You know, they've a lot of young lads there, you know, that's only starting out. And, you know, there's a few younger lads or other lads there, that older lads, should I say, that have kind of seen it and been there. So, but look, there's no easy game for any team. You know, I think Bowes will want to obviously get another 3 points on the board after last weekend, getting a great result in Oriel Park. So, you know, they'll look to build on that and try and get back to where they were last season quite quickly, because, again, they haven't got off to that start they would have hoped to have gotten off to. Because I actually tipped Bowes to probably challenge Shamrock Rovers for a title this year, but again, only early days, and Keith Long, you know, is around long enough to know that within 2 or 3 weeks you can turn that around quite quickly.
Yeah, let's talk about Derry City finally then. Derry hosting Drogheda United. Derry have had a very disappointing start from their point of view. 4 games in without a win. The Ryan McBride Brandywell Stadium is the venue for this one on Friday evening, and it is the sort of perfect game. Is it the perfect opportunity probably for Derry to get something on the board now, Raf?
I think it is. You know, it's one of them ones. You know, it's been difficult for the group. You know, a lot of young lads. You know, and young players trying to. You know, it's great. I was watching the game on Tuesday night against Shamrock Rovers, and you know, it's great to see the younger lads that have come into the group and made their debuts. You know, for Derry City, Ronan Boyce was fantastic when he came on. You know, it's fantastic to see. But I think Drogheda is a team that, you know, Declan Devine will look to try and get 3 points, because at the end of the season, look, Drogheda have started off quite well. I think Drogheda, he knows, will be quite closer to them than the likes of Shamrock Rovers and Sligo Rovers. So he'll be looking to try and definitely get something against Drogheda to try and kickstart the season for the group and for the club. So yeah, it's one I'm going to be keeping an eye on, because it's going to be tough, you know, for them to do, because Drogheda have had a fantastic start and have some great experience in the lads they've brought in the likes of Gary Deegan, Ginny Corcoran, Ronan Murray. So these are all players that have been around and know the league. So a tough one again, but one I think that, you know, could, if they get that point on the board, that first point on the board, can kickstart things for them.
Right then. Finally, before you go back to the Northwest Derby, we're going to get your prediction. Are you going to put your neck on the line here, are you, Rav?
I'm going to put my neck on the line. Look, I honestly think that Sligo are just going to shade it. You know, I've watched most of the games this year. You know, they're really strong all over the park, especially, you know, the back five with Eden goals and the back four in front. They've also Craig Bolger in the middle of the park, who will try and bully any team he comes up against. So I think in the middle of the park is where it's going to be won on Saturday night. And I'm just going to go with Rovers to shade it on the night. You know, I think they'll be thereabouts at the end of the season, you know, challenge.
Okay, we'll see how it pans out. Raf Cotero, many thanks for joining us on The Score here in Highland.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Raf Cotero, who joined me today for our League of Ireland chat, edging towards a positive result for Sligo this coming weekend. We're going to have to wait and see. Once again, you can follow all the action on Highland, Jermot Doherty and Declan Boyle on commentary. As from the kickoff time at 6 o'clock at the Showgrounds, the big game this weekend, the Northwest Derby, Sligo against Harps. Turning our attention to athletics, and following a meeting earlier this week, the Northwest 10K Committee has confirmed that a charity virtual event will take place on Bank Holiday Monday, the 7th of June. It's a different type of format for the 10K this year. The two benefiting charities will be the Donegal Diabetes Parents Support Group and the No Barriers Foundation. Northwest 10K Chairman is Neil Martin.
Yes, Oisin, we've decided to go virtual, and we plan to run a virtual 10K, Northwest 10K, on Monday the 7th of June, the Bank Holiday Monday. It's a month later than we would normally go on the May Bank Holiday. The reason being is we waited on restrictions to be lifted and whatnot, and as we know now, those restrictions are not going to be lifted before the end of May, or maybe even into June. So we're not sure. Hopefully, to me and to everybody, we'd like to get the restrictions lifted as quick as possible. But at the same time, we have to be careful of public health and all that type of facility. So we've decided, rather than running a race, because our Northwest 10K normally brings in about 1,500 or 1,600 people, and we certainly would not be in no position to run a race of that calibre in the immediate future. Indeed, maybe not up to the end of this summer, which would mean that it would be too late to run a good 10K. So we've decided to do a virtual one this year, and plan is that we go on the first Monday or the first weekend of May in 2022, which would be our with a live event, which would be the 25th running of the Northwest 10K. So that's where we are, and that's the reasons for it. We were last year we got caught. We were ready to go. We had our charities announced. We were ready for action. And of course, lockdown came in May and March, and we weren't able to do it. We tried to talk about it for later on in the year of last year, but again, with restrictions and us being in Donegal, being in level 3 from October and whatnot, we were no position to run it. So we kind of cancelled last year's event, and we thought we would get the 2021 one done in May as per usual, but unfortunately, we're not in that position either. So we felt rather than losing the event entirety, we would do a virtual run on the 7th of June.
Yeah. Have you got a structure around organising a virtual run yet, Neil, or is it a case that, listen, you've just decided here in the last few days to do this?
Oh, well, we will be set up for entries by Friday. It'll be online entry only. There'll be no such thing as coming in and entering on the day or anything like that. It'll be online entry, and we will be asking people that participate over the years, the people that come out and supported us, even in the walk or the run or the race, whichever way you want to put it, any of those three events, to come along, or not to come along, sorry, but to get involved, walk 5K, walk 10K, and just send in your times to us then after that, which would be after the 7th of June, or indeed before it, if you get it done beforehand. And we will have a certain number of spot prizes to be drawn for from all the participants that actually submit their times and all that and everything at the finish. We would also encourage anybody that would be doing it to wear one of their 10K t-shirts that they have received over the years, because there must be, as I say, over the number of years that we've been running the 10K, there's always been a t-shirt, so there must be a lot of t-shirts in the county, and it would be nice to be able to put them out there and create a bit of awareness. We are going to continue with our two charities, the No Barriers Foundation and Diabetes Ireland Donegal Branch. Those are the two charities. And because we're going virtual this year, we have actually agreed to hold that those two charities be going forward to 2022 as well.
Okay, so he's made an early decision that they would get the full benefit of the race from next year. But that's not to take away from the benefit of the race this year, because virtual events have become very, very popular in the current climate that we are in, Neil. And this could be turned out to be hugely successful for you and your team. So it could.
It certainly could. I mean, we would still hope. There is this the climate out there at the moment for virtual runs. Having said that, if we get restrictions lifted and eased enough, and I don't mean we as in the Northwest 10K, but we as in the general public, there may be some races happening during the summer and later in the summer, which would mean that if we stalled on the 10K, we may not, benefit from the virtual, but this 10K will probably be the last of the virtual runs that's going to happen this year, because most of the other races may be back on track again.
Yeah, and I know people want to get on the track, or they want to get out in the road, Neil, so they do, and you see that nearly every day of the week when you be meeting various people, that they're mad to get back into action on the road, or be it on the track.
Yeah.
But from a virtual point of view, and you're going to experience this now, this could become something that the likes of clubs and groups and charities will continue to use possibly in the years to come, the virtual version.
There is actually that point to it, exactly, Oisin. And I mean, we all run races in clubs and county boards and nationally and provincially. There's championships of all sorts, and then there's the ordinary runs, the sponsored runs, the charity runs, all those kind of stuff. And, you know, there is an opening there for virtual competition as such. You may not call it competition, but you'd call it a virtual event, in that, you know, people can get out there and people can be active. And yes, since lockdown, I've never seen the roads as busy with people walking, people jogging, people I met all my life and never seen them out in their life before, and now I see them out every evening having a walk and things like that. And you know, it has happened, and it's better, it's good for the mental well-being of all those people to be out and be active. And for us as a Northwest 10K committee, we felt that it was good to be able to provide another vehicle for them to, even for want of a better word, look forward to it.
And obviously, Nate, just back to this year's event, entries will be opening real, real soon.
Entries will be opening online on probably Friday or Saturday, one or the other, and we will be pushing it out there, and we will be, again, asking the general public of Letterkenny and surrounding areas to continue to support this event that's going now for, this will be the 24th running of it, so to speak. 24 would have been in 2020, and this 2021 year would have been our 25th running of the Northwest 10K, but unfortunately this last year we didn't get doing anything. So next year, when we get back into 2022, will be the 25th running of the Northwest 10K, and we would hope to be free and ready for action on the first weekend in May with a crowd in Letterkenny, as we normally do have.
By the way, Neil, just before we wrap up, you could be going international with this, you understand, because people will be doing 10Ks. It's not just for people in Donegal, it's further afield.
Well, when you think about the two charities that we do have at the moment, the No Barriers Foundation and the Donegal branch of Diabetes Ireland, every family somewhere along the line has someone that would be associated with those two charities, and as well as that, they have a national and an international range to their thing. So we could be getting 10K runners over in Dubai or Australia or America or Canada, wherever. And, you know, that's another reason why we want to have a go at it and see what it's worth for us. And I mean worth in terms of what it's going to be worth for the charities, not for us as a 10K committee, but just to see where it gets us, you know.
Yeah. That's a good to talk, Neil. The best of luck in the coming weeks with getting the whole thing together.
Thank you very much, Oisin. Thank you.
Finally, we go to boxing. Conor Coyle will return to the ring in Mexico early next month as he looks to continue building up the victories to crack the top 10 middleweight rankings this year. After a 15-month layoff, Conor extended his pro record to 13-0 last week with a first-round win against Esteban Villaba. I spoke to the Derryman earlier today to get his thoughts on his ring return and his plans for the rest of the year.
It was nice to get back in and get the feel of the ring again after a 15-month layoff. We expected a much tougher fight from the guy. I know he's a very tough Mexican journeyman. And the first round was our plan was just to go out and move and back jab just to get the feel of the ring again. So we didn't expect him to put away in the first round anyway, but still glad of the outcome now.
Yeah, it was a comfortable one in the end, and you got a belt out of him too, so you did that. You didn't know about it heading into the weekend, is that?
Well, we just found out that the one of the guys organising the show was bringing over a belt to fight for as well, so I was happy enough they come home with the ABF, American Boxing Federation belt. It's a nice looking belt they add to the collection.
A long layoff, 15 months was big. How did you deal with that whole pandemic situation? Because as a fighter, obviously, you'd be looking to get under the ring as much as you can, particularly at the stage in the career that you're in. But the whole thing just fell away by the wayside, and there was no in-ring action from boxers, just like every other sport. A hugely difficult period. How did Conor Coyle deal with it?
Oh, actually, it was a complete nightmare. We've had so many times we were contacted to say they were bringing us over for this and that, you know, kinds of fights and stuff. But it was the visa that was holding me back, and they weren't... I had to get an interview in the embassy here. They weren't letting anybody in to get the visa stamped, so I was literally just stuck in a rut here. You know, I just had to keep training to keep my mind active and keep my body active, but I'm happy things are getting back on track again now.
When will you see ring action again? Obviously, the US is a huge part of your plan, so there's Connor.
My interview for my visa is going to be in August, so I'll not be back in America until after August, but we've just set up another fight in Mexico now on May 5th, so I'll fly back there in 2 weeks' time again to Cancun for a fight with a Colombian fighter who is he has 30 wins, he has 22 knockouts out of his 30 wins, and he has 14 defeats. So this guy obviously must be a puncher. I've watched some tape on him, and I'm happy enough to take the fight at short notice, but I'm ready, and as I said, never got many rounds in the last fight, so I'm looking forward to getting back over and doing it again.
Yeah, this will be a step up, will it, from the last fight? Will this probably be a tougher opponent?
Well, his record says so. You know, out of 30 ones, he has 22 knockouts, so I'm definitely assuming he's a puncher anyway. So I was expecting the Mexican to be a tougher fighter because they're tough anyway, but sure. I just focus on me. My own ability and know what I can do, and I just worry about that.
13-0 is your professional record. Now next month you're looking to hit 14-0, Conor. As the year progresses, what's the target here? Where do you want to be, and what sort of fighter do you want to be taking on?
We'll get this another one or two fights now in Mexico before I get back to America. And then once I get back into America, we're going to push bigger fights and bigger stages as well. We would love to fight for one of them titles from the WBC or the ABF or something like that to get under the top 10 before the end of this year. So whoever's there to fight and whoever's in my way, they get to that place, I'll have no problem fighting them. So we just have to see at the time when we get to that level.
Jim McLaughlin, of course, is hugely influential in your career. Connor is your trainer, but he's also your manager. You're getting great guidance from him, but there's going to be a couple of other things that need to come into play if you are to progress this year, and as a promoter, one of those that you don't have at the moment.
Yeah, I'm a free agent at the moment, but once we get back into America and we get on some more fight shows, you know, promoters will probably start coming then, though, looking to sign. Probably 15, 16 and 0 by that stage. But we're in no rush at the minute because everything's still sort of shut down in the world. So we want to wait till everything opens up so we're not held back any longer.
And there's a bit of disappointment over the last number of months because you were actually to be fighting for a European title this year. Is that correct, Connor? But that was pulled from underneath you?
Yeah, well, we had... We had some contact from the MTK. We're going to fight for a WBO European title this weekend, but things didn't plan out then, and they got a different opponent. But I thought we had the fight, and I was going to be pretty excited about it. But things happen for a reason, and it'll come again. Another fight will come just as big.
Cathair Duffy is a man that you know very, very well. Of course, you grew up and through the amateur ranks with Cathair. How influential has he been on your career this time around? Because obviously you've been home a lot due to the pandemic, and he's been helping you out and getting shape and stuff. So he has, Connor.
Me and Cathair's been together, 20 years, I think, now we're training. So he knows me more. He knows me better than anybody. He's pretty much the same type of trainer as Jim McLaughlin in America, so, and they speak back and forth every day when I'm training, so the connection there and from the amateurs coming on to professionals and working with Jim as well, talking, you know, every day and training, everything's worked out well, and Cathair just pushes you very hard, very good technical coach as well, so I'm happy enough staying here at the moment during the restrictions and stuff until I get my visa back to America. So he's been doing very well with me, and I'm happy enough with everything going on.
Yeah. There's not much downtime then, I take it, if you're back in the ring so quick, Connor?
Straight back into the gym today again at 3 o'clock. So that's me back in training now for another, we'll have probably 2 more weeks of training and then back to Mexico.
That's Connor Coyle, and that's it from another Score programme for today. If you missed any of this evening's show, you can, of course, recap by going to the sports section of HighlandRadio.com. Next sport here in Highland is our bulletin after the 8:30 news tomorrow morning with Chris Ashmore. So until then, what's left of it, enjoy the rest of your sunny Thursday.
Sport on Highland brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Gear up on all the training essentials at michaelmurphysports.ie with nationwide next day delivery.